بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. I've been doing this for about 15 years continuously, and I used to put on the internet a highlight of each juz. So I thought every year will be easy. I just looked to what I did before, and but I realize one thing: as you get into Quran and you follow it, that the Quran is a life document. It's not just a scripture and a text that's fixed. And according to the condition and what is going on, some verses hit you out of the Quran. This is why it's really a living book. It interacts with you if you read it and understand what is it. So far, I look to my old notes and my old highlights. I never picked anything that's written in there. I always come up with something that is very different when I read the Quran, when I was preparing this. There are three verses in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18. That really hits the spot with all the argument about Islam and the validity of Islam and the Quran, to the point that we hear some talks right now that Quran is not even a religion, it's just an ideology, like democracy, like fascism, or like socialism. And I say, Astaghfirullah al-Azim. The Quran give you insight that you really start believing this is the word of God. And God help me as we go along in the remaining few days to find out some of these things that hits, and really it shows the inner feeling that of humanity that only God can know its secret. The first verse I want to talk about, I think they come after, is verse 28. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladhina yad'una rabbahum bil ghadati wal 'ashi yuriduna wajha wa la ta'du 'aynaka 'anhum turidu zinatul hayatid dunya wa la tuti' man aghfalna qalbahu 'an dhikrina wattaba'a hawahu wa kana amruhu furatan. And contain yourself in patience by the side of all who at morning and evening invoke nothing but adoration of their sustainer, of their Lord, seeking his countenance, seeking his face, seeking, it's hard to describe what yarjuna wajhahu mean. It's something that people feel it, and each one with his own or her own experience know what that means. They have no other desire in life but to feel God around them and inside them. They have no worldly interest in anything but to seek the feeling, to feel that God is with them. And let your eye pass beyond, and let not your eyes pass beyond them in quest of the pleasure of this world life, and pay no heed to any whose heart we have rendered heedless of all remembrance of us, because he had always followed only his own desire and abundance, and abandoning at all good and true. There is a story in another revelation with the same meaning, the people who seek their wajhullah, that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was involved with the elites of Mecca. The chieftains of the leaders of Mecca tried to convince him. Remember, these verses came at the end of the Meccan period. So he was concerned, and they came to him with a negotiation that they are willing to get along with him. they are willing to make a compromise. Let's make a deal. With one condition, we are the honorable Quraishi, the honorable and the high class of the Meccan people. And you, Muhammad, have attracted the poor and the weak and the slave. And it just doesn't fit that the elites of Mecca will sit in the same room under the same banner as those poor people. And these are the poor people that Allah is describing them as those that they have no desire in life but to seek watch Allah. Like Yarjuna, they are not looking for any worldly prestige or looks or wealth. They devoted themselves, they want to feel Allah around them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet, don't get intimidated with that power, that worldly power that is emphasized with Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and all these kuffar, because Allah have closed their conscience and their hearts, and they will not listen to you. And when you pass by those people who devoted for themselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't look down on them. Don't say they are useless people, they are not working hard, they are, because only Allah really knows what pushed them to that. These people, they didn't find any significant to their life. They were slaves, they were poor, they were exploited, they were oppressed. And Islam and the Prophet gave him dignity and giving meaning of their life. Yarjuna wajha. They don't seek anything else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people might think this is a reprimand or a teaching to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's who's about to make a mistake or about to feel preference, if I can only win those powerful people, everything will be okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the Prophet so we can learn how Allah is preparing the Prophet to be worthy of what God described him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The second verse, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This verse, when it hits me, I say, subhanallah, those people who are claiming that Muslim and Islam was spread because they go to places and they go to the kuffar when Islam became such powerful, and they give him a choice. You either accept Islam or you lose your life. This is against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the Prophet. So if I want you and I want myself to come up with one verse that repeated all the time and believe in it, it is the truth. It's the epitome of you cannot be a Muslim unless you make that choice in your own. You have the choice because you feel it and it gives you value. It gives you everything that was lost. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Anyone who tells you that Islam and Muslim are compelling or forcing people to become Muslim. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also reminding the Prophet, do you, Muhammad, compel people to become Muslims? That's not your job. You are only to give the message to them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide those who are willing to be guided. So remember this, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This is again a direct order. And here is verses like this does not take or does not leave any room for interpretation. You know, I understand Arabic, and even if you look at it in any translation or any other language, there is no two ways that you can explain this. It's very clear. It's just like a legal language that does not take any interpretation. Whoever wish to believe shall believe. Whoever wish to deny the truth shall deny the truth. How can you explain it any other way? Very, very clear. And this is why this is, we're talking about al-mutashabihat. This is muhkam. Cannot be interpreted any other way. So remember this. من شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر. If there is a lesson from this juz that I teach myself and I remember and I use it all the time, is that very short thing. من شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر. Why is this? If this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you no choice. No. Look at the verse that came before it. Not a whole ayah. It's just وَقُلُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Say, Muhammad, you remember when we say قُل, this is an order for something that's very clear and very important and non-negotiable. Say, O Prophet Muhammad, O Muhammad, وَقُلُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. What you are preaching and what you are bringing the people is the truth and nothing but the truth. So this is why you, the choice becomes yours. You either believe in it or you don't believe in it. You have that choice. So you cannot be Muslim unless deep inside your heart you test yourself and you decide, do I believe in that truth or I don't believe in that truth? And Allah give you the responsibility to make that choice. Even if you say, oh, I am a Muslim already. No, test yourself all the time. This is really the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always remember, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. The rest of the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding those who can see the truth and follow it, and those who can see the truth and because of their arrogance and because of their worldly obsession with worldly desire, with power and with look, they really stay away from it. It's just exactly like Iblis when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to bow for the new creature that he made to Adam. He said, no, because I am better than him. Okay, he knows this is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And this is the lesson of today, Jews. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much, Dr. Muhammad. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you.